Welcome to Gadgets, a podcast from Gizmodo where we women-splain the latest technology. And we're on video this week, Michelle. I'm Florence Ion.
Oh my gosh, I can see your face. I can see my face. Oh no.
Look what else we can see. Look behind me. Look behind me.
Ooh. Yeah, Flo has a green screen.
I do. This has been sitting in my garage for a long time, and I decided to take it out, and I would be surrounded by all of the things that we're going to talk about on the podcast today, which is pretty much Google's, I guess Google had kind of a hardware event, even though it was a developer conference.
Yeah, just like a tiny little thing, you know, outside, little picnic. You might not have even noticed it.
Yeah, where the Grateful Dead used to play a lot. That's like the Shoreline Amphitheater, it's like their big thing. This is where Grateful Dead used to play and where hippies used to come. So how perfect for it to be the venue for Google.
The pre-show was so much fun. By the way, I haven't introduced myself yet. I am your co-host, Michelle Earhart, consumer technology deputy editor at Gizmodo. Apologies for the late introduction. I'm just so excited about Google. But yeah, Google I.O. happened, and the pre-show was so much fun. They played Zombie. They played Kids in America. It was just like the most wild thing. It was fitting for that amphitheater, I think.
It was. They do that every year. So for those who are curious, you can actually watch the keynote back on YouTube if anybody wants to. Just go watch those first 10 minutes. It will give you exactly the mood of Google I.O. But they always start off every developer keynote every year with like a little music performance because,
think,
you know, they're at the venue.
I think Apple's WWDC should open with a Mr. Brightside this summer.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I could handle that throwback, because that song came out the summer that I graduated high school. And, you know, like the summer between high school and college, it's the kind of freedom you'll never feel again in your life.
It's also something that Apple would never do. I just thought it was so funny that that was the vibe I was getting from Google. I guess they want to differentiate themselves, but not too much, because at this Google I.O., they announced a bunch of new gear, including, Flo, the Pixel. Wow, I almost said Apple Watch. The Pixel Watch. Their first actual Google smartwatch, which is obviously competing with the Apple Watch. So we've got plenty to discuss today.
We do. We have a lot. And actually, I feel like, Michelle, we should just go ahead. Let's take a quick little break and then we'll jump into it. Teased it in the beginning, but apparently Google I.O. is a hardware show now, which it wasn't really in years past. Every year Google has this big developer conference. It maybe goes silent to some folks, but for those of us in the industry, it's all that we could pay attention to this week, because this is the time when Google kind of lays out the red carpet and goes, here's what we're working on behind the scenes in our AI divisions, in the assistant. And here's all the new hardware that apparently we're going to release.
Yeah, as you can see behind Flo, they just like went ahead and are also, I'll put up a photo right here. They just went ahead and announced their whole hardware, or at least their Pixel lineup, through the rest of the year, and even one device that they expect to come out in 2023. It wasn't the majority of the show. It was like the last 15 minutes, which was really annoying to us as tech journalists. But, you know, it's Google I.O. What they like to do is they like to spend the vast majority of the show bragging about stuff they did months ago, or like making promises about stuff that they're definitely going to do next year. And I guess these are part of the promise segment now. So at this
year's promise segments, I like that, actually. Sounds like an emo band.
Ooh. Okay, we're trademarking that. Maybe next Google I.O., they'll play one of our songs.
Exactly.
But yeah, this Google I.O. saw new Pixel phones. It saw new Pixel earbuds with active noise canceling, very clearly aiming at the Apple AirPods Pro, which are a few years old now. So I'm curious to see what Apple does at its developers conference. They announced the Pixel Watch, which got leaked a while back and is probably the star of the show for us. And then to Flo's right, there's a mysterious tablet that they they didn't tell us a lot about other than that it will run Android and that it will come out in 2023.
Yeah, let's talk about this one real quick. So a couple things I noticed on Twitter. A lot of folks saying it looks like an iPad, which... these are all renderings. So to be quite frank, we don't really know what these things look like. We just know what the graphic designers at Google put together for us to have, you know, an image in our mind. And so far what we see here is just like this very bare bones sort of looking device. It doesn't have like the same, oh my goodness, doing this backwards, by the way, is very fun on the video feed. I'm trying to like point at things. But you'll notice it doesn't have the signature camera bar on the back like the Pixel smartphones, so already like design language, there's a little variance there. What I really feel though is that this Pixel tablet is going to try and bring Android back to tablets. Previously it kind of felt like Google not necessarily abandoned it, but definitely shelved the Android on the tablets bit, let the other OEMs, you know, kind of deal with it. Like Lenovo has been really successful with their line of tablets, and Samsung as well. But I feel like now Google's like, we're going to take it back, but this is not necessarily going to be a device that, I don't know if it's going to have the same existence as an iPad. I feel like this is definitely going to be a buy this in addition to the rest of your Pixel hardware. Because look, what I have behind me is an ecosystem of devices. Like this is the real announcement. This is the real announcement right here, is that Google is officially considering itself a hardware company, no longer just a search giant.
Right. I agree. I think that they actually said several times throughout the show that their devices are meant to like work in tandem with each other, and you're meant to be able to take the same experience from your phone to your tablet to your watch. And just like they said, modern computing should just be using whatever screen is most convenient for the task, which is actually not something I disagree with, and I think is similar to Apple. As well, I know I keep making that comparison and Android fans will probably kill me for it. But, you know, like Apple, one of the key selling points to their AirPods is just like you can quickly move it from your phone to your iPad to your MacBook without having to go into the Bluetooth menu, unselect it, and then reselect it on the new device.
Yeah, I am definitely looking forward to that kind of parity across the whole ecosystem as an Android user. I do have a little bit of fear, though, about some possible... I'm curious to see how the other manufacturers in the Android space are going to deal with all of this, because this is definitely coming for Samsung's ecosystem. Because I'm wearing Galaxy Buds right now. I have a Galaxy Watch 4. I don't have a Samsung phone. I have a OnePlus. But the fact is, I don't have to use Pixel devices to have this kind of ecosystem. But I'm also scared, because what does this mean for all the special bits that are coming to Android? I hope that, you know, it's the same experience regardless of manufacturer.
Right. I think that's one of the key selling points to Android. You know, it's not as locked down as Apple. It's still not quite like a PC experience, but it's a lot closer to PC than Apple is, in that you get more choice. So as Android clearly like tries to emulate Apple, which I understand, it comes with a lot of prestige doing that, and it helps extend features that maybe that can be pushed across the entire ecosystem, even beyond Pixel devices. It does leave you wondering how, say, Samsung is going to react. Although we will say that the Pixel Watch uses Wear OS, which was made in collaboration with Samsung, right, Flo?
No, actually, Wear OS is... yeah, Wear OS is Android specific. What Samsung did is put like its own skin on top of it and took the bits that it already did with its Elder Tizen OS that it used to have on the older watches and sort of collaborated that. And what we have now is this like mishmash of the two. And it's still a little fragmented in some cases, which is why we have been waiting, Android fans have been waiting for the Pixel Watch, because we want something stock from Google, something that shows exactly what Wear OS was supposed to be in Google's vision. But we're still waiting, because this thing is technically still theoretical. Even though, by the way, Rick Osterloh, SVP of hardware at Google, was wearing it in the last segment. And I noticed everybody else is wearing the same watch I am, which is the Samsung Galaxy Watch 4. And thus far, the watch that everybody has been flocking to if they want a watch in the Android sphere. So that Pixel can't come soon enough. But we're not going to see it until the Pixel 7 and 7 Pro, which were also teased. And those are expected in the fall. So let's see. October? What is that? About 4 months from now? Three, 4 months
from
now? You
know, and that's expected. We're still facing chip shortages and things keep getting pushed back. It's funny. I was editing a couple pieces the other day. And last week we published a story where Intel was like, our GPUs that we're making are on the way. And then earlier this week they said, our GPUs are canceled. And just seeing those two stories next to each other was hilarious to me. You know, companies are getting more optimistic, but maybe biting off more than they can chew. That's interesting about Wear OS, though. They said several times throughout the show that they worked with Samsung. But you can see how much I know the smartwatch ecosystem. I actually just got my first smartwatch.
Yes, you did.
This week. I said a couple episodes ago that I'm anti-smartwatch, but it's my boyfriend's birthday. I decided to get him an Apple Watch, and while I was there, I figured I'll get one for myself. So this is a space I'll start paying more attention to. Yeah,
actually,
I was
not
worried he might be upset about me doing that, like taking some of his light away from his birthday, but no, he's fine with it.
Right. You know, us Tauruses, we like to have the spotlight on ourselves. I get it.
Yeah, he's a Taurus. I'm a Capricorn. I know nothing about astrology, but my aunt says that's a good match.
Both are signs. Is this a good time for us to quickly segue, by the way, into the Pixel 6a, which is a piece of hardware that will actually be available a little sooner than these other things? This phone, it's a mid-range device from Google, and it's going to be available beginning July 28th. It's on sale, but you can pre-order it July 21st. So you still have to wait about 2 months. Notice I keep looking down, by the way, at the date, because I need to do the math in my head of how much time is away from this. But that's kind of like the whole weird part of this announcement is like there was a lot of teasing going on at the show for what's coming. And Michelle, do you think that that's going to like change whether people are going to wait to buy this, or are they just going to be like, I don't have time to wait for this. I need a phone now.
If it were coming like within the next couple months, I think so. Which will be the case for the Pixel 6a, but I don't know if people are necessarily going to wait for the 7 based on this announcement, because I think people who are the kind of people to be conscientious about that are probably already aware of Google's release calendar and are already planning to wait for that.
Yeah, that's very true. The Pixel 7 is going to launch around the time of the next iPhone. So that's kind of when we expect those flagships. This Pixel 6a, though, is entering a market that already has a lot of competition. I just recently reviewed the Samsung Galaxy A53, and that's a similarly priced phone around, I think that's like $430. Or actually, I think I'm thinking about the iPhone SE as well. That has a similar strategy to this Pixel 6a. The 6A has the silicone of Pixel 6, so you're getting the same processor that's in the flagship, but it's in the lower-priced phone. So it's very interesting. Similar strategy as Apple, what they did with the iPhone SE versus the iPhone 13. So it's very interesting to see if it's just gonna like help the longevity of the device, if it's something that's really gonna benefit people, because Google has, again, a lot more partners than Apple does. So
that is the interesting thing to me specifically with that processor strategy, because it mirrors from Apple's next low-end iPhone, which is that it will continue to use the same chip as the current batch of iPhones, which makes you think, well, what's the point of upgrading? I guess maybe you get a better camera. Whereas this is kind of the opposite tack with Google, where its new budget phone uses the same processor as its current more high-end phones. It's just, you know, it's cheaper, I guess, in terms of camera and screen and battery and all of the things that make the processor worthwhile.
Yeah, that's, you're right. There's still a, I believe it's still a, I had to look it up. It's either 60 or 90 hertz. But the refresh rate is not as high as what you'd get on like the Samsung Galaxy A53, which they put in 120 hertz. You know, Samsung does displays. That's what they're good at. So they went into their own supply chain closets and just busted out what they had left. Google doesn't have that ability. So this Google I.O. gave us a glimpse at what's coming. None of this can be touched yet. Are we excited? Like, are you interested in what you see here as a person who's not currently, you know, knee deep in the Google ecosystem?
At this point, as someone who like just bought an Apple Watch and an AirPods Pro on a right. personal level, like Apple has their chains on me now. It would be difficult to leave that ecosystem. As someone who used to use a Pixel that I did not like very much, I think this gives me a lot more faith in the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. I'm a PC person. I like customizing. That's why I started off with Android. But the older I get, the more I need to just like quickly pull out my phone and do something for work. I think convenience is what speaks to me a lot on a mobile experience, which is part of why I swapped to iOS. And I feel like a lot of the changes that they're making here are going to make the experience more convenient. Mm-hmm. I'm always have a little trepidation about like first gen hardware from Google, and the watch right. is obviously the biggest change there. The bezels seem kind of nasty on it. I thought that they would be like these side waterfalling things, but then I saw a video running on the watch and I'm like, ooh, that's not ideal. It maybe looks a little chonky to me, but Flo, you're the one who knows the Android smartwatch experience better, so I suppose you can speak to that a bit more easily.
I don't have faith that I'm going to go out and buy this watch and exchange it for my Galaxy Watch 4. I will say that. Because the Galaxy Watch 4, you know, okay, let's see. I turn it on. It's got bezels, right? You kind of saw that real quick. And I don't mind it because of the other utility that I get from it. But also, this watch is very thin, the Samsung one that I have. So it's so comfortable, I wear it all day. Sometimes I fall asleep with it on. So we'll have to see if the Pixel Watch has that same. Again, it's very hard to talk about it as a theoretical.
That's the problem with any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I was expecting the sort of reactions to the new Pixel lineup to last in social media through today at least. And I don't see a ton of people talking about them. And I wonder if it's because they don't really have much to go on, especially because like the 6A is nice, but it's a mid-range phone. And all we know about the 7 and the 7 Pro is they're coming. Not everyone is sold on smartwatches. Me, a couple weeks ago, I was still kind of on smartwatches. So the Pixel Watch is only going to get so much interest from people. The Pixel Buds Pro are nice. I'm pretty interested in those, especially because
those will do okay.
You can use them on non-Pixel devices mm-hmm. pretty easily. You can use them on non-Android devices, and they have slightly cheaper active noise canceling. Than the AirPods Pro. Slightly cheaper.
Yeah, not everybody likes those AirPods Pro. That's the thing I'm noticing about earbuds is I'm like sitting here fiddling with my earbud. It's because, by the way, I fell asleep in these last night, so my ears are very like. But in all sincerity, that's like a big thing about earbuds is that they all are different looking. So mm-hmm. they fit into different ears differently because ears are not a one size fits all body part. I mean, none of us are one size fits all. But with the ears specifically, like listening to music when you're putting something in your ear, everybody has different canal size, you know, that sort of thing. So I don't like the Pixel Buds. They don't work with my body anatomy, but the Galaxy mm-hmm. Buds work fantastic. AirPods, if wind blows at me, it immediately falls out of my ear. So,
wow.
I'm not built for some of these things.
I hope that doesn't happen to my AirPods. So what I'm using right now are actually like cheap mm-hmm. $30.
I have a couple of those around the house just as like backup
mm-hmm. earbuds, and they're pretty decent. But I take the train into work every day. I've gotten back into podcasts. I took a break from them for a bit. And the idea of being able to turn on noise canceling and like not have to pause my audio or just like push it up to the max, which is probably not great for me every time a train goes by, is so appealing to me. But even then, yeah. I was trying out the AirPods Pro in the store and I'm like, I'm willing to make the compromise on this build for the noise canceling, but it's still a little chonky for me. I don't love silicone tip, air or earbuds of any kind, but those are the only ones with the noise canceling. So these Pixel Buds Pro also have silicone tips as well, but mm-hmm. their body shape seems like they might help them fit into my ear more easily. So who knows? I just bought some AirPods Pro, so hopefully that wasn't a waste of money, because I might get these when they come out if they turn out to be really well. Another thing I'm interested in is that Pixel tablet or that Google tablet. I'm not sure if it has a proper name yet. It's just kind of a vague 2023 release. But right now, the only tablet I have is a hand-me-down iPad for my boyfriend that I pretty much use exclusively for reading comics because it's so old. It's not powerful enough to do anything else.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, I've been away from Android for a little while, and this tablet might be a good way to re-experience it, especially because for my phone, like I said, I like convenience, and the App Store has plenty of, like, nice official apps for using on your phone, probably a few more than the Play Store does, which is something we've talked about in the past. But when it comes mm-hmm. to, like, a tablet, that's something I'm leaning back with at home. I might be more interested in side-loading apps there, and Android is a bit more friendly to side-loading in my experience, so...
We're going to have to test all of these things when they come out, because I want to hear what you would be like with a Windows tablet.
That's true.
Windows tablet is not easy. It's not as touch-friendly.
I've used Windows tablets in the past. Well, I've used Windows convertibles a ton and detachables in the past. I think Windows 11, not the best OS in my experience, but it has made the touch experience a lot easier. But without Windows 11, I wouldn't use a Windows tablet.
Right.
Even with Windows 11, it's not great. Yeah. It might be part of why Google is ditching Chrome OS for Android for its tablet as well. Because, like, Chrome OS, somewhat touch-friendly, can use Android apps. Still built for, like, Chromebooks, right? So not great for a tablet.
They're built for a laptop or like a keyboard and display form factor. So I think that's why Google is like, you know what, the Pixel Slate didn't really translate as well, so let's go back to the drawing board. And you know, I personally hope that we can see something that will be just as successful as the Nexus 7 tablet was, which was the last perfect tablet that Google made that was manufactured by Asus. And of course, I am referring to the second generation Nexus 7, not the first generation. Everybody knows I'm talking about the black back versus the white back. But that was the last great Android tablet. So we're praying, We're tarotting. We're speaking to our astrologists. We're manifesting for this to be the
Flo,
real return of the Andrew
Tatlow.
Flo,
so California. I'm here in my New York office hearing these taxis go by going beep, beep. And you're talking about talking to your astrologist.
Manifesting a perfect pixel tablet. That feels like a good spot for us to take a quick little break because we still have some, like, other non-hardware bits we should get through. So, more on that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Go for it.
Google didn't just make hardware announcements. That was actually, as Michelle mentioned, the last, what, half hour of the keynote. In fact, most of the two-hour keynote, which I had to tell, break it to Michelle first thing Wednesday morning. Michelle, this is a two-hour keynote, so buckle in and get your snacks.
My cat was not happy about the length of that keynote, but...
Yes, but we got so much out of it because what Google does is it has to market what it's working on behind the scenes, what developers are working on, get the shareholders and everybody excited about what's coming up. So one way that they're trying to sort of curry favor with folks after all this, like, ooh, our data's not safe call out, is that they're now allowing you to delete your critical information from searches. You can't completely delete yourself, but you can delete your address, your phone number, any identifying information that could be used against you. And with how abusive the internet has become, this was a good move.
Oh no, Flo, I'm gone. Where am I?
Oh no!
I've deleted myself.
Oh! Oh no!
I've been zooming in on you throughout the podcast, but I thought I'd have some fun with the new video format. I really wish I could just, like, fully delete my... No, I'm kidding. I know. I think that is a good move. We've actually, like... Flo, I think you're a strong proponent of the service Delete Me, which kind of does that stuff for you already. This probably won't be as strong as, like, subscription services like that, which will, like, reach out to companies that have your information and say, delete
this. Oh, you
this.
Can still go to Spokio and give them $8. I may or may not know this. And give them some money and they'll give you the address and phone number of anybody. It's very easy.
But it's something. And I guess something is better than not. It's something. It's a good something. Move. It's a good move for optics. And you know, a lot of people, it's like with home security, technically you can break into a house that has home security fairly easily, but why would you do that when there's an unprotected house right next door? You know, if you make it too hard, that will deter some people already.
Well, there is the other thing that is very nice that Google added, but Shoshana Wodzinski, our coworker, reminded me to be a little dubious whenever Google makes these announcements. So during the keynote, Google announced that you could customize what ads would be shown to you in places like YouTube, which I am, you know, I'm excited for this because there's a lot of really awful ads that target you on YouTube and you just don't want to see them. Like, it's okay. I'll watch the same TikTok ad 50 times, but please do not send me the Epoch Times. Like, that's not something that I read. So you'll be able to go into your settings sometime in the future and adjust these. But Shoshana sort of reminded us that you're actually just helping the algorithm target you a little better You're helping Google essentially know exactly within which parameters you'd like to be targeted and where you would not. So pluses and minuses.
Yeah, it's like all those surveys that, you know, websites will send you. Anything that they can do to get like free consumer data is good for them. There is some utility in this, in that
right.
maybe I won't get recommended a 45-minute, you know, far-right documentary that insults people I know and love anymore at the bottom of my funny cat video. But at the same time, you know, if I click that I like an ad for McDonald's because I'm addicted to those fries, that only lets Google know, okay, show her all the McDonald's.
I mean, I would love to just be inundated with Taco Bell ads instead of some of the garbage that is on YouTube. So, you know, it's give and take, right? The other little bits of good news that came out of the keynote is that Google's enforcing two-factor authentication on everybody. And they're also putting in some new anti-phishing protections, which if you've been watching your email or Google Calendar lately, you might have noticed a lot more spam making it through and a lot more spammy calendar invites mm-hmm. is the other thing that's been happening to a lot of people. So these are all just nice to haves.
They're going to add anti-phishing to like Google Office as well. So like Google mm-hmm. Docs, Google Sheets, mm-hmm. Anything where you have like a publicly shared document with people that theoretically a stranger could access. They're going to take then the same algorithms that they use in their email and supposedly allow you to use that in those as well.
Yeah, so it's all just little things. Now, the other, going outside the realm of security, Google also showed off an AR demo, which we're going to get into in just a little bit, why this is really significant. But we'll introduce it to you first. Scene exploration for Google Lens is a pretty big deal because what it's basically going to allow you to do is pan your Android phone. I wonder if actually this will probably come to iOS too, just thinking about Google Lens. But you'll be able to pan across like a shelf of, let's say, food. And then you'll be able to ask Google to only pick out like, what's gluten-free or, you know, a flour that's made by a black-owned business or, you know, chocolate that's from this region of New Jersey. You know, it's all things that people want to filter by. And we'll get into why that's going to be really interesting in just a little bit. But beyond that, I wanted to also bring up a fun new feature that's coming to the Google Nest Hub Max, which is the latest smart display that they have. Guess what? Now you could just stare over at your smart display and go, turn on the lights. Stare at it. Turn on the lights. Exactly. You just point at it. I need you to lock the door.
It's really, it makes, I don't know, I've been trying to be more polite to Siri lately, to be
you
nice
should.
To Siri.
You should.
So that when Siri goes full Skynet, she will.
You should will absolutely,
kill me quickly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which this feels like the opposite of. You just go and stare at your hub and say, do the thing. But at the same time, anything to get away from saying, okay, or. Those are just like the most awkward wake phrases in the world.
And we'll have to make sure that we bleep out those wake phrases because
shoot, I'm sorry. That's a good
that's
point.
That's all right. That's all right. That it happens on this show, right? We've got all these smart home things that we have to talk to. Do we want to quickly, let's touch upon, we are kind of running out of time here, but do want to quickly touch upon before we get to our last segment, new Google image search results for makeup will now be filtered by skin tone. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Google says that you can search for makeup by filtering for skin tone. And the new feature is going to leverage what is known as the Monk Skin Tone Scale, which is a tool developed by Ellis Monk, an associate professor of sociology at Harvard. And it was designed to provide a, quote, broader spectrum of skin tones that can be leveraged to evaluate data sets and machine learning models for better representation, end quote. Google says that this is going that they're going to make this technology open source. So that was the other big news at the Google I.O. keynote. So other companies can use it or adapt it for their own purposes. And Google's also working on applying the lessons learned in this research to its photo apps. This is good across the board. There's very representation has been so one note for so long. I'm saying this as a white person. But I do want to introduce just a tiny bit of cynicism and skepticism here about this feature, because it is our job as journalists to point that out, which is that a lot of this feels very heavy-handed after the firings of AI ethicists like Timnit Gebru, who was a Black woman who was fired for speaking out against biased algorithms. We've had a couple of other firings happening across the board at Google HQ. The New York Times has reported on them. You know, if you Google it, you will find what we're referring to. And so just like thinking about the history of what's been going on, it can make these bits of news, can kind of overshadow these bits of news that actually made a lot of people really happy. I saw a lot of happiness on Twitter about these new features coming.
You know, Google has probably thrown tons of money at this. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work. I have a little bit of skepticism, not behind the idea, excellent idea, but I worry about the execution. Google has had really problematic connections that its algorithms have made in the past regarding skin tone. But hopefully people will get use out of it, but it doesn't mean that the company gets off without any accountability for its past behavior. It's good to see them make these changes, but they should be the first steps of many, and ideally there should be people making these products and these innovations who are the same people who would, you know, benefit most from them, rather than being fired from the teams making them. It is interesting to see these changes being applied to their camera app as well. Historically, cameras have not, across tons of manufacturers, have not handled dark skin tones as well as lighter skin tones.
Since the beginning of time, by the way. Since cameras started.
But Google has that this is still more in the works than like stuff like searching for makeup, so we don't know a ton yet. But you know, Google says that it will it'll show your true self is the word they used a ton, or the phrase they used a ton throughout the conference.
It's called real tone.
Real tone.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a lighting slider as well that you can do to adjust, which will be nice regardless of skin tone, but they specifically showed it in the context of skin tone. So we'll see. A lot of this is still in the we'll see phase.
It feels like a really good time for us to take a quick little water break, and when we get back, we'll get into the last we'll see one more thing.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Thing that was a Google I.O. Well, in another very Apple mood, Google left us with one very last little thing at the very, very end of their keynote. So if you got up from your seat too fast or you closed the window, you didn't see this. But what it was a 2-minute video of what looked to be a pair of augmented reality glasses. Very Rivers Cuomo styled sort of glasses, very thick rimmed, you know, something that you would perhaps wear with a sweater. And these AR glasses, what they were shown to do was live transcriptions just right there in one part of the eye from whoever was talking to you in another language. And, you know, I mentioned the scene exploration in Google Lens earlier, and I just feel like this is it. Like, this is what it's going to be like when Google finally implements its AR vision. What do you think, Michelle?
I'm excited by how... Well, okay, I have multiple thoughts because my cynical immediate first thought is it's Google Glass 2.0. But no, what I'm excited by is how normal the glasses looked. They weren't these big, bulky things. They weren't even necessarily as thick as like Snapchat spectacles, which are probably the closest to being like the most unobtrusive AR glasses you can get. They just look like regular glasses, which I think is the type of VR or AR, more realistically, experience that I want. I don't want to have this big, heavy thing bolted to my head for several hours, directly blocking my vision of the real world, even if there's software solutions around that. But this seems like something that people would actually buy. And showing it as a way to do translations rather than as like a fun little heads-up display for the real world like Glass was, I think is a smart move because that is something people actually use their smartphone for quite often. It's something that they, you know, mentioned earlier in the show. A lot of the early parts of Google I.O. were just talking about like the regular Google search and Google Maps and Google Translate suite. And it's interesting to see them recognize they still have that strength even as they move into the hardware market and base new hardware around those strengths. That said, this was just a very small teaser. We don't have a name yet. We don't very even small. Know if these glasses will end up looking like that, which is a shame because I do want them to look like that. I'm Same. Very picky about what kind of VR or AR devices I put on my face. But... it's still a touch metaversey, which is always something that spooks me a little bit for a number of reasons. But it's a metaverse application that is firmly rooted in our reality and in real world needs and serving people who might not otherwise be served by other options. So I think it's a smart move.
I do too. And finally, I will have a way to like know what my Tamagotchi is saying without hovering my phone over it so I can translate the Japanese.
Do they not make... I know you love the modern Tamagotchis. I haven't interacted with them a ton. Are there not ones in English still? Or
no, there are. They just released different ones. So Japan has like some of their own models and I import them. Yeah, but unless there's an English version, you can't patch them unless you like really... extremely know what you're doing, which I do not. So,
well, Flo, it was your birthday this week. I know that. So happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Happy birthday hope to I'm your not... boyfriend.
Yeah, his birthday is today, the day we're recording. I hope I'm not spoiling too much for the audience by revealing that it was your birthday. But we should do a gift for you. We should do an all Tamagotchi episode at some point in the future. Oh.
I would love to. But actually, Michelle, before we close out the show, I want you to know I brought a gift for you. So very quickly, I would like to show you. I'm going to stand up very quickly and I'll show you what my gift is.
Oh, my God.
You can even see it with the green screen.
Yeah, I assume the logo is green, but you've got a Neon Genesis Evangelion shirt in the Garfield font, like Garfield and Friends. That's wonderful. That hits both sides of my personality.
I mean, ever since we had that anime talk now, I'm just like, I've been bothering Michelle. Like, Michelle, I went to Five Below and I saw anime posters.
I spent a good amount of last week talking to Flo on Slack about Revolutionary Girl Utena, mm-hmm. Which seems like Vigorous Nod seems like the next thing on your list.
I'll show you what I was watching, actually. We'll do that. We'll do that side channel, though, because
this is,
I got
this
into
what
something
we can
this
use,
week.
What we can use our new video for, though. This is a good way to end the show. Having
exactly.
more video, not just a great way to show you gadgets, show you what smartwatches we're wearing, I say, pointing to my empty wrist. But also, thank you, Flo. But also, we can more easily show off our anime merch. So maybe in the future, I'm working on a Gunpla that I'm going to bring into my desk. So maybe in the future, you'll see my master grade Hyakushiki.
Heck
showing
yeah.
Showing up on gadgets.
Perfect. Well, Michelle, before we go, let's thank our new producer and editor, Artem Golub, for making us look really good this week.
thank you, Artem.
We also want to thank our cover designer, Vicky Lida, who is out there making beautiful art at many places. And we want to remind everybody that if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, you can always email us at gadgets@gizmodo.com. That goes to both of our inboxes. And you can also tweet us at Gizmodo. You could tweet me at OhThatFlow. Michelle, where can people find you on Twitter?
They can tweet me at Shell Earhart. It's like Michelle, but with the M-I cut off.
Perfect. And you know, if you type in Shell and you follow me on Twitter, it'll auto fill it for you. Just FYI.
Hey, thank you.
So, look at those APIs working for us in our favor. If you like what you are hearing or you like what you are seeing, please subscribe us wherever you get your podcasts and your video podcasts. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review on Spotify, because those two things really help us get found. So I guess until next week, Michelle, I feel like let's take a nap, because next week there's more news to cover.
See you next week, everyone.
See you next week.